What got you into music?
Really, it was growing up in a family where there was great music going on. And I come from an Anglo-Irish home. My dad's and my mum big on music. My dad would pick me up from school. He used to work, he's from an Irish family. He used to work on the roads and stuff. And he'd come and get me from school. He'd often have a tin whistle. And, walking home from school, he might play an Irish tune. And it just was magical, amazing to see. Music's magic at that age, isn't it? I mean, at any age, maybe. So at family parties, there'd always be great music. And they'd get me singing. My nan would ask me to sing a Dubliners song called Dublin in the Rare Old Times. So really, songs, ballads have been around me all my life, and it's just been part of, who I am and who our family is.
I take it there was plenty of sing-alongs, especially with your dad doing all the Irish rebel stuff.
Yeah. Well, we'd have big family parties, and there'd be sessions going on until 3 or 4 or 5 in the morning. I was going over to weddings in Ireland when I was 4 or 5, and my auntie in the west of Ireland ran the most popular pub in Dingle, and there'd just always be music on. And I've just always been a singer. I'm an only child as well, so I think, when you're on your own, I think I'd often just be singing to myself. And when you're a kid who spends quite a lot of time on your own, you're also imagining a lot. So I'd be making up stories about flying off in my own spacecraft and battling the bullies at school and whatever. And so I think that combination of the family I grew up in and being an only child meant that strong imagination, a love of singing and of stories and writing and creating and drawing and stuff.
It's fair to say that a lot of the music that you've made and that you've written has come from personal inspiration, hasn't it?
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
In particular, you've got the JCB, which is still one of your biggest hits, one that still gets played quite a lot. How did you feel when you realised that song was becoming such a big hit?
Well, when I wrote it, I had a strong feeling about it. I was like, oh, this has really got something. But in truth, in my life, I'll have written, say, 5 songs, or at least 3 that I've had that, oh, wow, this is a really strong song. And yet, they haven't gotten picked up. It's just that it was lucky enough that at that time we had a little record label here. We had some money. We had some time. We put a campaign together, and we had enough of a buzz about us that the radios picked it up, the combination of writing a song that's good enough to be picked up in that way and being lucky enough that it was picked up by the media, that's when you get a hit. Or, when you've got a really big record label with loads of money, and then you can write an average song and have a hit.
That was the thing as well. The song originally came out and it charted. It didn't do huge numbers, but then it got re-released a little while after, and then it hit number one.
Yeah.
How did that feel for you?
It felt good. It felt scary. Because we were this little independent label, we have strong values. We'd write about, one of our songs is called England Uprise, all about people, encouraging people to do what they love and what they believe in and stand up for their values and for community and for, so there'd be a lot of, there was a lot of ourselves in the music. And suddenly, you know, when we had that hit, people were calling us a novelty act or one hit wonders or whatever. And it's, there's all this sort of, it was good and it was fun and it was exciting. And it was, you know, that it was scary that we might get misrepresented, you know, which I think in some ways we have been. Do you know what I mean? Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, but you've got to look at it as well, that you are still going out there, you're still touring, and you're still doing a big number of shows. I mean, how does it feel when you've got your fans coming out? Do you feel that they know a lot of your songs? Do you think they get on a personal level with you?
Yeah, that's a good point, man. Luckily, I think, because we've been gigging, you know, we gigged a lot between sort of 2002 and 2008, you know, we were just gigging loads and loads. So we built up an audience there who know a lot of our stuff. And then again, you know, we've been gigging the last 2 years, so we've got an audience that knows us and, you know, wants to hear new stuff and you know, knows all of our stuff. So that's sweet. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to talk a little bit about touring as well, because you have done quite a big number of shows, but you are about to go out and actually do some more.
Yeah, we're touring this May. We're starting in Glasgow. We're going to be in Newcastle, in Wakefield, in Chester, Cornwall, Birmingham, Southampton, Shrewsbury, Manchester, and Cheltenham. Boom, boom. Yeah, that's all of them. So, yeah, you know, mainly it's mainly an English tour. We've got that one show in Glasgow, the first 2 weeks of May. And, yeah, we just love sharing our songs with people. And next week we're going to get together and just do a week of writing. So we've maybe got some new stuff to share as well.
Okay, I was going to ask about it, because obviously there's been a few albums out from you, there's been some releases. Have you been looking at maybe getting some new material out, or have you got anything already in the pipeline ready to go?
Yeah, we've got some new songs. And I also, last year I released an album of my own that's called Give It All. And and so we play some songs off of that. I'm really proud of that record. And one of the songs on that album is called I Want to Be Free. And Ed Sheeran said that that song was one of his songs of the year. You know, we've got songs that John and I have been writing over the last year or so, songs of my own that we're putting in there. And then we'd love to write some more and see if we can put a great new album together.
Okay, we did mention about your own solo stuff. How does your solo stuff compare to the stuff you do with the band?
So I hitchhiked from England to Palestine in 2009. Nisloppy, we kind of burnt out running a record label full time. It was mental, and so I burnt out and I just took some time out and I hitchhiked to Palestine and I wrote these songs. So in a way, the songs on my own album that came from that trip, they're more political. When I'm just writing with the guitar and don't have that inspiration from John, it's both, you know, it's more folk, hip hop, soul. Whereas John brings that kind of jazzy, he brings a lot more kind of nuance to it because he's a jazz player, you know. So whereas my stuff on my own is quite direct and soul and political, and bold. It's quite bold. I think John makes me a little bit more subtle and grounded, and my own stuff is quite wild and direct.
I mean, you both do have quite a different style, even on your recordings and when you're playing live, because I know a lot of your recorded work is very high production, all big bands, but a lot of the shows you do, I've seen videos of where it's just both of you on there, and it's quite nice. It's quite it's quite intimate that way. I think it gives a better connection to the crowd. Do you feel that works if it's just a couple of you on stage?
I think what's amazing is that if you develop a relationship as two musicians and it keeps deepening, you know, if you can keep deepening as friends and as artists, then it can be pretty magic, because there's a quality, yeah, there's just a deep quality to what you're doing. So, you know, I know that a band like U2, one of our favourite bands, you know, they're not individually, they're not as great musicians as, you know, some of the best session musicians in the world are, you know, but when they're together, their relationship and then their knowledge of each other creates something beautiful and magic, and, you know, like the Beatles did, or yeah. So just having the two of us, even though it's a smaller, you know, it's not as big a sound as having drum kit and horn section or whatever, there's a lot of subtlety and, like you say, intimacy to it.
You've got the touring coming up. You're going to be touring next month, but also, so you're going to be touring in May, but you're also going to be touring later on in the year as well.
Yeah, man. Fair play to you for your research. We're going out with the Moulettes later on in the year to do a double headline tour. And the Moulettes are this sort of English folk stroke avant-garde kind of you know, singer songwriter react. There's some sort of theatre to what they're doing, and they have fun. It's actually going to be really sweet to be on tour with some really good female musicians, because so often in the music industry it's really male, and the Moulettes are sort of they're like female led, I think. So we're all going to be in one big van together and going around the country and collaborating and sharing. Yeah, it'll be sweet.
There is a few shows there, and I've seen that the last show you're doing is at the Union Chapel in London, and I have to say it's one of my favourite venues, because I think it really works well for the more acoustic and folk acts. Have you played there before at that venue?
Yeah, when we released our second album, Make It Happen, the London date was there, and it was a great night. It's a hard venue to get the sound right when you've got that big kind of, you know, John does the human beatbox and double bass at the same time, so he's going like, you know, with these, and the double bass is such a boomy active instrument, and in that room it was tough to nail it. So this time we're going to get the sound right so that there's not any dissatisfied customers. Yeah, can you make it to that one? Are you going to come along?
I am looking at it, and I would be honoured to go. I've had your first album for probably about 10 years now, and it's one of the things that I've said, I do this loads of times. I go, I've got to go and see these guys live. And the problem is sometimes it goes like, oh, well, like I might miss out on the tickets, so I was like, oh, I'll go the next time. But I made a promise to myself, I've got to come and see, and I know that's on a Friday night as well, so I can't see that's going to be a problem.
Sweet, man. Well, get in touch with me nearer the time, and if you want to come, I'll try and stick you on the guest list.
Oh, awesome. I think I will have to come, because it's one of them things that if I don't go, I'll probably end up regretting it. It'll be one of them things like, well, why didn't you just get the ticket, you silly sod? That'll be me. I always do. Ooh. That. So. But yeah, I know I definitely have to come and see you guys. So it's on the list. It's definitely on the list.
Good man.
Yeah. As you mentioned about your solo stuff, have you already been looking at maybe doing further work on your solo career, maybe even doing another album?
I've done a couple of tours of that music with Jimmy Davis. Do you know his stuff?
I'm not too familiar with him, no.
Yeah, he's this Birmingham radical, beautiful MC, really great lyrics, incredible. And so, yeah, we do like a double headline thing where he does a set, I do a set, we do a few songs together. And we're putting one of those together again in September. And I go out with a really great drummer and bass player. And we had an amazing gig in London last week. And it was stunning. And people, in fact, half of the audience took their tops off. It got that hot. And I just... I get kind of carried away, and I was like, hey, let's get naked. And then people were like, if you do first. And I said, well, okay, I'll start. And so I took my shirt off. It was really hot. And then like most of the front row of the audience all took their shirts off, and then we rocked out and were singing together. And yeah, it was class. So I'm writing at the moment and loving it and studying music at the moment. And I just want to make really great work, you know. So, yeah, I'm going to keep releasing stuff on my own and keep releasing stuff when there's Lofty, doing both.
Brilliant. Okay. And, all right, Luke, I've got one more question. And if you ever got the opportunity to work with anyone in the world of music, so if you got a chance to collaborate with basically anyone, who would you choose and why would you choose that person?
Wow. It's such a wonderful question. You've asked some lovely questions.
Thank you.
You know, it's such a hard one. Because, like, on the one hand, obviously I know that there are incredible artists in the world, like Yo-Yo Ma or, you know, incredible poets like Mary Oliver. Or, you know, there's masters out there, and yet, the person who's striking me at the moment is the singer-songwriter from Vermont in America called Anais Mitchell. And she wrote a folk opera based on the myth of Orpheus, the ancient Greek myth of Orpheus. And she said it in the Depression in America. And you know, there's one song that's... like that Hades, who's like the big boss of the underworld, he's singing, why do we build the wall, my children, and all of his people are singing, why do we build the wall, we build the wall to keep us free. So it's all about the way that, you know, as a society we put up these walls, like I think like UKIP are wanting us to do that, you know, like wall ourselves off from immigration and stuff. But actually what that does is often it imprisons us, you know, the war on terror or whatever. We end up losing our liberties, and that's a tragedy. So I love artists who can tell a story that touches these deep themes and you know, do it in a way that sweeps us away. And so I'd love to work with Anais. I really like her stuff.
I just realised one question I forgot to ask was about the live album you actually brought out last year as well. That was actually pretty good. I had to listen to it and I thought it does sound really different to the recordings, but it's fun. It's more, I don't know, I feel there's like there's a different flow of energy coming from it. What was it like actually recording a live album? Because I know this was done at the Borderline shows in London.
Yeah, it was great. You know, we hadn't played a full live show to an audience together for 5 years. And we walked on stage and, you know, our audience had been waiting for that time. And so it was a really strong response. And, you know, that show sold out in an hour. And so the room was full of people who were really up for it, and we were really up for it. And so it felt great. It felt very alive and intense and amazing to be with people who were wanting to hear it and singing the lyrics. The audience were louder than us a lot, and it was a gift. Yeah, so we just wanted to put it out there because they were a really beautiful night, so we thought it'd be good to, you know, share that. And people had asked us for a live album for years, so there it is.
And it is available for anyone to purchase and have a listen. And I think it's a very good listen. I can't find any fault with it. It's just a great album, and I'm kind of hoping to hear something similar to that in November when I come see you guys.
Thanks, man. Yeah, and if people are interested in that or in hearing any of our stuff, you know, we're called Nizloppy, N-I-Z-L-O-P-I, Nizloppy, and it's .com. And on our website, there's videos and new songs. We've been, you know, putting up some quality videos and new stuff. And yeah, and we're, as you know, we're going to be out on tour in the first 2 weeks of May. There'll be some great other acts playing with us. And yeah, and if anyone wants to get in for free, then just write to us from the website, and we need a street team to hand out flyers and stuff. So if you sign up on a street team, then you get into the gig for free.
We're going to make sure that word gets out to every single fan as well. But not every fan can be in the street team. I think we better point that out before you start getting thousands of applicants and you don't actually get anyone buying the tickets.
Yeah, you're right, man. You're right. There's a limit of 5 street team per show. Well, have a great night, man, and I'll speak to you again.
Yeah, you too, Luke. Thank you very much, mate.
And fair play to you. Thanks for listening and for, you know, asking good questions and preparing and all that. Peace, man. Bye.
Bye.